afternoon. Today is Tuesday, March 25th, 84th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Fortuna's city manager, Regan Candelaria. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Good. Are your team still alive?
I haven't even looked at any of the results, but...
Well, did you say, of course?
Of course
you just
are.
Haven't determined
all
which ones
favorites.
They are.
All my favorites.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about preparing a budget from the city's perspective. We talked last week a little bit with Phil from the county about the county's perspective and some of the things that are going on there. And we talked a little bit also with Tom Chapman from Arcata about, from a police guy's perspective, or a department head, how you do it. But we kind of had this big missing ingredient in the middle, and we've got the guy to plug the hole when we come back.
I'd be happy to fill it.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Ooh, I've got a couple good ones, and the category is even government.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I've got Millicent Fenwick in 82, and I've got one of hers in 83.
Wait, are we doing more than one quote?
No. Do you want the 82, the more aged and refined quote, or do you want the young and bright and crisp 1983 quote?
Oh, give me 83. That's a big year for me.
All right. Yeah, that's when I started here. Boy, is that frightening. That's right. I did not tell you. You're a week early, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Next Tuesday, we start our 33rd year.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. Now I really feel old. Not young and crisp. Here we go. Millicent Fenwick in Reader's Digest, 1983, quote, "We must have government, but we must watch them like a hawk." I didn't know she was a big aviary fan.
No, that's very true.
Yeah. Is that a pain in the butt?
No, it's actually a help. I mean, I've always had the opinion that, you know, we need to get input from our constituents, the people that we work for. You know, in City Hall, we see a lot of things and we do a lot of work and we're very busy, but sometimes, you know, the eyes and ears on the street, you know, have some important information and actually great detail for us regarding the programs that we're trying to offer and the services we're trying to provide.
Kind of the whack on the side of the head moments.
Yes. I mean, we get those and then they're great because, you know, I'd rather know that now or get some of that input before you get too much farther down a road and figure out, oh, hey, wait, we should have been thinking about this. You know, why didn't we see that? Well, because we're not out on the street or we're not, you know, active in that organization. But it's important.
So when you have your public meetings, public hearings about the budget, is it kind of baked by that time versus somebody coming in to, you know, knock on your door, hey, got a minute, got an idea? Mm-hmm. Or in one of the city council meetings, it isn't, I guess, confirming the budget or authorizing the budget, but way, way early before, like, say, in fall. So there's no talk of budget. Hey, here's an idea of the way it possibly is. Are you looking for that kind of an input in those kind of scenarios rather than through the budget hearing meetings? And
to be effective, Brian, I think you're right. It has to be in the fall or even really in our case, you know, on fiscal year formats, it needs to be the whole year prior because you're really estimating and trying to, you know, project what kind of revenue you have to provide all the services that you're required to do. And then if there's any that you actually have some, you know, leeway where you can decide what kind of programming you want to do. It needs to be a year ahead. And, you know, we try to do that through our city council and through the different community meetings that we have. But we don't have a real formal big picture process where we're out getting community involvement on the budget or on programming all the time. Some cities do that, and it takes a couple years really to kind of get that rolling and get it started and get an awareness and an actual, you know, participation. But that would be a big help.
I would think it's kind of cumbersome. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you go to your Rotary, Kiwanis, Elks mm-hmm. meetings. Okay, you're going to get blasted, you know, good natured, but
I do probably there's a lot of those, unfortunately.
There's a lot of those kinds of, you know, so you kind of get a sense. You've mm-hmm. got, you know, your cops are out there, your parks guys are out there, your meter maids are out. I mean, you've got a lot of different eyes and ears that are mm-hmm. out there if something really significant was out there. But it's the kind of the idea generation stuff is, I would think, like roundtable, I guess, rather than a workshop. I hate right. concept of workshop because somebody leads those. Mm-hmm. Roundtables, you sit around and shoot the breeze, and an idea leads to a thought, leads to a concept, leads to mm-hmm. something that's workable. So how do you keep that that feeling of openness? So if somebody does have a thought or wants to, you know, swap ideas back and forth for 5 or 10 minutes, that there's somebody there who, instead of being protective,
yeah,
is really kind of interested in the concept.
Yeah, you gotta put that out there. That's one of the things I try to do as much as possible. Like on my way here today, I went to the 50th year of volunteerism for St. Joseph's Hospital. I went to their recognition dinner, and you know, I'm sitting at the table, and I want people to know who I am and have my card and know that we want.
That's the reason for this square pin. It looks like a name badge.
I have my city pin on today, and you mentioned my city vehicle. I want people to know that we're out there and that we do want to hear and we want to have input. So going to the Chamber of Commerce meeting regularly, going to our, you know, Kiwanis meeting at 7 in the morning, going to Sunrise Rotary or the Noon Rotary, showing up at the community events. You know, we would try to get as much feedback as we can, because some of that informal feedback is what you try to utilize to put into programming.
That's really the critical stuff, isn't it, the informal?
It really is. Sometimes people, you know, showing up during public comment at the city council meeting on the first or third, you know, Monday at 6 p.m., that might not be their thing. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't want to be on TV or have a big splash or something like that, but they still have good, valuable information.
Does it need to be a formal idea, or can it just be a thought?
Thoughts are good, but I would just recommend community members, if they really want to see some action, you know, to provide something in writing, you know, give a little bit of thought to it, so that we can respond properly.
Yeah, and then maybe it's physically possible too. Who knows?
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on 2 annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria, budget guy for the city of Fortuna.
Yeah. Budget guy.
Do you like doing the budget process? Are you a numbers guy, or are you more of an idea guy?
I kind of have to be both. I think I'm more of the idea guy, though. I really like to have people that implement, you know, for me, all of my staff, and I, you know, need a strong finance department. Every city does. You know, and so it's my job. I'm the one who's responsible for it, though, and you know, so you have to have a big role in that.
Yeah, I think everybody understands that. But if you're a number cruncher, personality type, mm-hmm. okay, budgets might be a whole lot easier for you than if you're more of an idea guy. Say, well, we'll just, you know, take from here, take from there, and here's where the money, and go with it instead of, you know, the really granular budget. Talked with, you know, Tom was on last week, but a number of other department heads in the last couple of weeks. And boy, do they hate it. if you're not of the accounting background, mm-hmm. I can see a lot of it is a struggle. I mean, you know, they don't teach this stuff in cop school or fire school or public works school.
Right.
That's not the track that you're going through. And now being at the pinnacle of that department with the title, now all of a sudden you've got that responsibility and a lot of the guys, from what I understand, don't have formal training. They just kind of inherit the inertia and try to kind of promulgate.
Yeah, they I think most department heads get into the mindset of, you know, they're implementers and they're trying to get the programming on the street and get the action taken care of. And so they're kind of a, you know, they're beholden to the budget because they know they can't go over. That's kind of the number one rule. And they get certain amounts of, you know, money that the finance department and the city manager and the city council says, here, we want you to provide these services, but here's your budget for it. So basically it's like, here's your limit. So I think that's generally their focus throughout the year is, hey, we got to get this done, but we got to make sure we stay under budget. You know, and that's what my direction is to staff is, you know, we only have this much, probably have less than that in a lot of cases. Let's try and be as responsible with it as possible. So then when you get to the budget development process that we're in right now for the next year, that's why it's more difficult. It's like, oh, well, you know, how do we continue to do that with less, you know, with things that cost more? And so that's why I think there's an uncomfortableness. It's, you know, it's a tough task. It really is.
Is there less? Is there more?
In my experience, there's less and less every year. I like to throw out this phrase that I hear quite often over the last 3-4 years. Actually, earlier in my career, it was, we're going to do more with less. You know, that's been the charge. You know, we're going to continue to provide services, but we're going to have to do it better. We're going to be more efficient. We're going to utilize technology. You know, we're going to provide training and you know, all of that, have our employees be better. And it's just, it's not even that way anymore. Now what I hear most city managers saying is, we're going to have to do less with less because it's just not there. We can't hire more bodies. We can't buy more equipment. You know, the revenues aren't coming in, and we know costs are going up every single year. You've seen the price of gas. We have to drive, you know, squad cars around. We have to drive a truck around, you know, go fix a pothole and all of that. You know, healthcare costs go up every year. That's faithful. Our employment costs in all categories go up.
What about the retirement plan? As I know, that's something that a lot of folks don't reference. Either we don't have in our occupation, or we do have, but we're not responsible for. So, which is it's a plus. It's not an escalating cost because you don't see that the cost is a cost. How much is that?
That's a huge part of our budget. I mean, people are our number one thing. You know, in local government, we're a service industry. You know, we provide services, and there's a lot of bodies that do that. And their retirement benefits in the public sector have always been one of the draws. You know, we don't get paid, you know, very much, really, you know, when you compare it to the private sector over the years. Things are starting to even out a little bit now, but over the years, it was really those retirement benefits and the health benefits. That was the draw to kind of keep somebody in our industry, you know, in addition to the satisfaction.
That must
the
be
job
the,
satisfaction.
The big city, big market mentality.
Well,
I mean, around here, we don't have too many folks making six figures.
No.
That's
true, yes.
But certainly nationally, that's one of the biggies. But with the PERS, and the thing I think that a lot of us are now starting to register with, whether it's teaching or whether it's other governmental service, the longevity post-retirement. I mean, a lot of folks are on retirement longer than they were in service. And, you know, I'm sure that the plan was not designed to be able to handle that.
I don't know if you're really aware of what's going on right now, but our state of California system, PERS, has done some new actuarial studies, and we're having to address that. I mean, people are living longer, they're healthier, and retirements are, you know, costing more just based on those numbers. And so what the state of California is doing right now for this coming year here, starting in July for us, is they're calling it smoothing because of these new numbers in this new schedule. And it's going to cost us more immediately with a big bump right now for this next fiscal year starting July 1. And then that smoothing process is going to last over the next 5 to 7 years to kind of get that whole program, like, you know, in shape, basically.
Why not invert the concept and say full retirement package doesn't occur until plus 5 years? Wherever you are, plus 5 years.
Yeah.
And as the union contracts come open. And realization of what's going on.
That's an excellent suggestion, and that's one of the things that we are already doing. And it's the new structure for new people, but we can't do that with people that already had contracts.
It's 3:30.
decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 335. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager Regan Candelaria. Regan, the budget itself, the actual grinding of the grind, do you, as the manager and your budget team, do that and then get the input from the department heads? Or do you send the department heads out, here's what your units were last year, here are the state things that we're being told that you have to make allowances for, come back with your best guess, and then we'll kind of blend everything and see where we are.
Generally, you kind of hit it just about right. And we do have a process each year that we utilize that is basically schedule-based. And our number one priority is to try and make sure that we get a budget recommendation to the City Council at least twice, once as a full draft, so they can see what we've come up with through that process that you described of, you know, hey, here's what we ended year-end last year with. So that's our baseline now that we can confirm after our audits. Here's what we approved for this current year that we're in, and here's the status of where we're at within this current year. You know, you got $10,000 to provide this service. Right now you've spent, you know, seven of it. So you're right on schedule for that budget for this year, or you're not, or whatever. So that's an important part. And then taking that and extrapolating that out to next year, here's what we're projecting, here's what we know we're going to probably get in terms of sales tax and property tax and other fees that we have, and this is what we have to work with. These are the new costs that we know of. You know, we work very well with our organizations to say, hey, this year you're going to get a 5% increase of your healthcare costs. We know that your PERS retirement benefits are going up 15%. So we can kind of factor those things in and have that to start with. So anyway, we go through that whole process on a schedule starting in the spring so that we can get something to the council in a draft format, hopefully, you know, the end of May, you know, so that early June they can be looking at a final budget saying, okay, staff, we do want you to do these things, but tweak this, change that, you know, and then we can bring them a final budget before July 1. So that's our new fiscal year. So we want to have those marching orders in terms of budget by that date.
Does the council either individually or collectively have the ability to say, I want 5,000 out of this, I want it put over into this one, right? That micromanaging, because I sense a lot of folks either believe that's the case on any board that they sit on, any council, that, by golly, they can get down to that granular level, or, and this is more where I am, is that it's a long-term guidance plan. And it's not, you know, you put together a budget that's balanced. As long, do you guys hit what we talked about? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cops and roads and fire are still, yeah. Everything's in place? Okay. Let's open it up for public comment because they're going to be able to analyze this thing a lot more in detail than what we are overall. Feedback, yes, no, thumbs up, thumbs down, rather than getting to that level of
I think you hit it right on the head, and it's really the
collective. That's two heads I've hit. I should go out and play whack-a-mole. I mean, if I got two of them down already, I have a chance.
You must have done some preparation for today's interview of Talk Shop. But no, yeah, it is. It's the collective. They have to work together as a group, you know, in the public setting each time. So they agree upon the entire budget book, as you mentioned, the big picture document, the whole two and a half inch thick piece of direction that we have. Well, it's not that we have it on our desktops every day because we're, like I said earlier, we're kind of
behind. You do, not the council.
No, we as staff do, yes. But they do provide a lot of input, you know, to that. And they, during the budget talks, that's when they do have the most input. Like, for instance, you mentioned, you know, the granular level. They don't really go there. That's our job as staff to implement what they've suggested. But, you know, they might look at our budget, a certain line item, and go, well, you know, do we really use the city attorney services that much? You know, we use ours pretty well in Fortuna, but it's a very small budget compared to other cities. But they look at that and they go, well, he's kind of part-time for us. And, you know, so they might adjust something like that. And they asked us last year, well, for this current year, you know, to reduce that budget a little bit and come back to them after, you know, each quarter and say, you know, is that going to work for us this year?
I would think that that would be the real critical element, is not when you sign it. I mean, you don't know your sales tax. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe somebody comes to town, maybe somebody shuts down. There's no way in the world to anticipate that in most situations. To do the quarterly updates, say, guys, we're pacing good. Everything's okay. We got a little bit of overtime in this department, but mm-hmm. it's manageable. Any questions? And do that kind of just an ongoing general in between having your once every 6 months update. And just kind of keep your pulse rather than worrying about, you know, getting too much closer than that.
Yeah, that's very important. Our finance department tries to provide a monthly report that we put on our council's agenda, and it has that to a certain extent. But then we also try to do quarterly updates so we can tell the council, you know, if there's anything out of whack, like you mentioned, you know, we had a great need for overtime because some issue came up, or, you know, we had some other major expenditure, something blew up and we had to replace it and fix it, and that wasn't anticipated in the budget. So we can share those kind of details that might have an impact on the budget overall.
Now, you mentioned, Regan, that the state has yet again been a grand partner in the financial picture. Is that as about sarcastic as I can get?
I don't even think I should.
Yeah, okay.
Should participate.
That's right. Somebody could be listening out there. But how do you anticipate that kind of stuff? When the state goes, oops, oh, by the way, we need another 5% out of your general fund to do, or we're going to withhold 5%, so you're going to get 95% of your tax money, say, your retail tax dollars that normally come back. We're going to hold off 5% because we've got this little project and we think everybody in the state's going to benefit from it, so this is your fair share.
Yeah, those they're not necessarily as abrupt as that, but we do see things on a, you know, fiscal year basis that we know coming up July 1 or January 1, there's some new requirement to change things from our end. And we rely on our partners with the League of California Cities and other organizations to help keep us in the know on that to the extent possible so that we can project and plan for the next year.
KINS, News and Information Time, 342. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Regan, what would be the biggest surprise, not from you by the state, but by the general community looking at the budget? What would it be? I mean, I think everybody can agree there's only about 5% of any population that's ever going to take the time to look through that that sucker. I mean, it just, even if you're small, Trinidad or Blue Lake, you know that it's still going to have a bunch of details that are going to cause most of us to either fall asleep and hurt ourselves or the eyes to roll back in our head and fall asleep.
It's not a fun book to read.
No. What would be the biggest surprises most folks who are lay people would find in a budget?
Okay. I didn't understand your question at first. I thought you were going another way. But so if somebody,
well, answer that,
Joe,
one then too.
If some, you know, a resident in our community is looking through the budget, what would surprise them? What would they see in there?
Some of the things they go, oh, I didn't realize. What?
Yeah, I don't know. It is so big. I don't know how they'd get to the part where there might be something surprising. I guess if I put on my, you know, hat as just the public person myself, I might be surprised at, you know, a lot of the cost associated with our wastewater treatment plant and the permitting of that plant. Most people don't even think about what that costs or how it's, you know, how the process works. But as much money as we spend on permitting to make sure that we get our inspections completed and send in our study, our testing, and our results, and then making sure all that fits in with the permit itself from the state, the Water Quality Control Board, you know, that's pretty costly. and then preparing for upcoming regulations. You know, there's a lot of money in the budget associated with that, but it is one of our biggest service areas, you know, provision of water and then the water treatment, you know, both ends of that. That's a big part of our budget, and people would probably flip through that, and then they'd go to the enterprise funds, and they'd see these, you know, big, big numbers and go, whoa, really?
How much is this? Okay, here's a weird question for you. How much does the city pay for PG&E cumulatively? Any idea?
Yeah, they are actually a really good partner of ours as a city because we're one of their bigger users, obviously. I mentioned the wastewater treatment plant. There's a lot of power that goes into running that facility on a daily basis, 24/7, and some of our other bigger facilities. And they have different rate structures for large users like us. And just this last year, they recommended different ways that we could be on the billing system that would save us costs. So they're a great partner for that. Those are some big numbers that we have to deal with.
Yeah, for us, they suggested perhaps we reduce our power consumption during the daytime.
You mean not work?
No, not broadcast. That's
not
think
good
that
for
plan.
You.
It's not a series of wash machines out there, baby. We don't fluctuate.
It's interesting you ask that because that is one area. We actually have a cogeneration plant at our treatment plant facility that helps to run the plant and save us some costs where we're using our own energy.
Biofuels?
It's the methane gas that gets burned off from one of the big plants and then gets cycled back in to run the plant itself.
Is that profitable?
Well, it saves money.
Yeah, but your upfront cost has got to be pretty significant
Stuff. For itself, you know, very quickly.
What is the one area you'd like to – don't give me cops because that's just a – that's that if you had a surprise amount of money, mm-hmm. car dealer comes into town, a big box retailer comes into town, you don't budget, boom, mm-hmm. here's a chunk of sales tax that you weren't anticipating. So it's all general fund monies.
What would I do with it or what would I recommend doing with it?
A one-time hit, where would it go?
It would probably go to community services, recreation programs. Over my year and a half here in Fortuna, that's the feedback I get from most groups and from most individuals is, hey, we want more to do for our kids. We want more opportunities for families. So trying to enhance recreation programs and community service programs, I think, would be my recommendation to the council on how to utilize, you know, any influx of new dollars.
What's the likelihood of additional revenues over what the budget is?
It's not that bad. I know you're expecting me to say no, never, but
no. I mean, you got the big chunk of property in the middle of the town there that's called potential, as well as out on the west side.
We do. We're always conservative in our estimates as well in terms of what the sales tax might be bringing in and the property taxes. So we always hope to have a little more than we expected or that we budgeted for. And then you're right. As new things come in, you know, that's a little bit of an increase. You know,
so maybe around the 1st of June, we'll hear about some of that good stuff.
You may.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.